So our next speakers are Jérôme Garin and Amandine Chambert, and it is about auditing web trackers. So I hand over the microphone. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having us. So I'm Amandine Chambert. I'm working at EDPD Secretariat at Technology Experts. And we are giving this talk with Jérôme, who is a researcher in privacy at a French university that's called UniLaSalle. And so just for those who don't know, the EDPB is the European Data Protection Board. The idea is an European board who includes all the data protection of all the national data protection authority in Europe, plus the three from the EFTA country, which are Liechtenstein, Norway, and Iceland, and also the EDPS. So we are often confused with EDPS. The EDPS is the supervisory authority for the EU institution, while the EDPB is the board who help all the data protection authority to agree among themselves, to discuss, to move forward. In practice, so I am working in the secretariat, so to not help to the confusion, the secretariat is technically provided by the EDPS, but it just means that on my payslip it's written EDPS, but in practice, my boss is the chair of the EDPB, who is, for now, the chair of the Finnish SA, Anu Talus. And so, in practice, at the EDPB, we have a lot of different tools to make all the data protection authority thrive. And one of them is the support pool of experts. The idea of this program is we have the call for expression of interest for experts in legal, technical fields. And they can say, OK, we are interested to have a contract with you. Actually, we have a lot of people on the field. Yes, we have 30% technical and 75% legal, but it just means that we have also people who are both technical and legal. And we have all those people who we can pick for our projects. Since July 2022, we had 22 projects, out of which 18 have been completed. And we try to make them public, so we are publishing once they are ready, as the saying says. And most of these projects are reports. For example, we have the one-stop shop. The idea is you will have one thematic, and we will pick a lawyer or a legal professor, and we will look at all the decisions that have been taken on this subject by all authority, and we'll do a report. But we also have a technical report, like the standardized messenger audit, where the professor look at what kind of requirement we could have to do an audit on a messenger app. So we have all those reports, and we have the exception. And the exception is the EDPB website auditing tool, which is a software, and who has been developed by Jérôme. And so what was the idea of the what? So internet is full of cookies everywhere. We have cookies, for example, when you are authenticating your user, you want to be sure that it's the same person in one page and the next one, you need a cookie. But you also have tracker cookies. So you have a lot of different kind of cookies. And the thing is, whenever you are using a cookie to talk about one individual, then you have data, personal data, and so the GDPR applies, so privacy applies. Okay? You also have a second piece of legislation that applies, that is the e-privacy directive, and in fact, not all data protection authority, but some of them are also responsible of the application of the e-privacy. In any case, at least for the first case, authority will need, when they will audit a website, to check out whether the cookies are, you know, legit or not, well done or not. And so what do they have to look at? The first thing is they have to understand what is this cookie, what is it used for, okay? So that's what we call the purpose. And it's very important because it has a legal impact. If you have a technical cookie and it's just here, so your website function, then you don't have to ask consent for it. But if you are, for example, using a cookie for advertising purpose, then you need to ask you know, your user to consent to get this cookie. And then we are talking about consent. So if we are talking about consent, then the first thing is, I have cookie there, okay? I can't force you to eat them before asking you if you want them. Agree. So the first thing is you have to check whether the cookie arrives on the website before or after the consent. The first thing you have to check. Second is the user should be able to choose which kind of cookie they agree to eat. If I have nice milk cookie like this one, maybe you will agree. Maybe if I have mint chocolate one, you will, you know, disagree. I don't know. And the last one is, you know, any good consent should be something that you can change, okay? I can tell you, yes, I want your cookie now, and I taste it, and I don't like it, and I should be allowed to put it in the bin, okay? It's the same with your cookie on your browser. So you should be able to withdraw consent, and it should not be hard, okay? And so all of that are included in any audits that you are doing as in a data protection authority whenever you are looking at a website. The thing is, we wanted to do that in a tool, and our dream tool will be easy to use because in our authority, most officers are legal officers. Okay, so technical officers are really like a very rare resource. So we want the legal officer to be able to do most or even all of the assessments. So we want something that is easy to use, where they can interact with the websites, because you have seen that, you know, like depending on your circumstances, you may need to click on the website on buttons or these kind of things. And as we want to simplify our lives, because we need to do the best with our resources to be in the same software, to do the audit, generate the reports, send the report, do the evaluation, generate the report, and so on. And we want to reuse knowledge, because it's both for efficiency, but also for legal certainty. I mean, if we have taken a decision at the time, we want to be sure that our colleague or us in the future will take the decision, and for that, we need to be able to reuse the knowledge to reuse it, and also to work with the colleague. And the last one, when we did it, the brainstorming about that, is that we need free and open source software. So at the EDPB level, we wanted free software for transparency reason, but inside some of the data protection authority, it was also a requirement for mainly two reasons. The first one was, so they want public free and open source software, to be precise, because they want, whenever they do an audit, for the auditee to be able to reduce the audits and check what they have found, say, okay, you know. And second, as we said, that we don't want just a browser, but we want to be able to do the evaluation and the report and so on. We want to be able to prove that the entire software don't mess up with the browser. So that's what we say we have is effectively what is. And so we look at what was existing, and we had a few things that was, we say, could qualify as very nerdy. And all things that are where, you know, like not answering our means, maybe because they were using machine learning and so had false positive or this kind of thing that you cannot have in an audit that will have legal consequences behind. So you want to be sure that what you decide is true. So we decided to develop the website auditing tool. So with the CP program, using Jérôme who nicely subscribed to our call, as free and open source software under the EUPL and based on different other FLOSS projects. I will just take 1 minute to say that we are in particular use the EDPS, so you see EDPS this time. It's a complementary tool. The idea of the WEC is really to have bulk audit, so it's also a website auditing, a cookie auditing tool, but the thing is they have a script and you can bulk audit, but you cannot do the audit on one website. And so, in a way, the WEC is more or less, you know, we could say that the WAT is far, far away from WEC. The version was zero was very, very close of it. So we are very thankful for the colleagues, in a way, that are working on this one. And now I will give the floor to Jérôme, who will talk about website hosting tool and how it works.
Thank you very much. Yep. So let's talk about the technical side of this project. So there is many requirements on it. So this slide will more talk to developers in this room. So one of the requirements was to have a browser that act the same way as the majority of browsers. So we decide to use Electron because it has a Chromium inside, and Chromium is now used in the majority of browsers in the market. And the interesting thing with Electron is that you have a Node.js that is able to analyze everything that is happening inside the browser and also going out and in from the browser. So we do our analysis and then we display this analysis into a nice Angular interface. So if you want to have a look to what the tool looks like, you can go on this URL and you will have just a subset on the interface, a subset that doesn't include the browser itself. So to summarize, the tool is open source. It's only based on widely used frameworks. It's cross-platform. You can use it on Linux, Windows, macOS, and it's all written in TypeScript. So here is what the tool looks like. So I designed the tool, I developed it, and when I started the project, what I wanted to do is to take the user by the hand, because this tool targets legal and technical auditors, but it can also be used by data controllers, data processors to inspect their own website. I mean, it can be used by anybody, by everybody. So that's it. So when you start, you have like an extensive documentation about how the tool works, just to not be lost inside the tools. And on the left, you will have all the functionality which are categorized into three sections. So what the tool is mainly doing is producing analysis. So it will store analysis inside the tool. The first section is to manage your analysis. And we will get in depth into it. When you are doing an analysis, then you will see like session inside the running session, so the session categories, and then you have editors that will help you to create your own knowledge base and to edit some template to generate pretty print reports. And the other section is for setting and documentation. So if you click on browse, then you'll get a normal browser. I mean, you will have all the tool, all the button from Chromium. But what is the specificity of this tool is that it provides as a stratum many analyses like this. So the idea is to have something very modular, so you can add easily, you can hide easily some analysis. So for instance, let's click on the first banner of the first stratum, which is about cookies. So maybe you will be disappointed because I didn't audit like bad guys. I only got on the European Data Protection Board website. I click on consent, and on the right, you will see that there is three cookies which are used by this website. When you click on consent, you have one technical cookie and two which are used for analytics purpose. And on each of these lines, you will get more in-depth information when you click on it. So here is the function, the goal of this panel is like to dive a little bit on each of this information. So on the first one, there is several tabs you see. On the first one, you get some details about, for instance, the cookies, the name, the values. The value is one, so this one is not used for trackings. When you click on log, then you will get more information, more in-depth information to do your investigation, because something which is hard when you are trying to classify the purpose of a cookie is to really know who is handling this and for what, you know. So if you have, for instance, a JavaScript cookie, then you'll get the full code stack of every script, so everyone will get involved in the writing process inside the browser. And if it's a JavaScript, it's a request cookie, sorry, made by a set cookie, then you will see the first request who stored this cookie. And the last tab is maybe the most important one. It's the dynamic matching functionality for cookies. So the idea is that the tool, when you get a cookie, will always trying to find a matching characteristics in the database to see which for which purpose this cookie is usually stored. You see, so you have several ways to do the matching. If you have an exact match, it means that the domain who usually stored this cookie with this name has this specific purpose, I mean, regarding the knowledge base. If you have a match domain, it's like usually this domain is storing cookie for this purpose, so this purpose could be the objective of this cookie. And then the final one that you can't see, it's the match name, because usually you have a lot of first party cookie, for instance for analytics cookie, and so it will try to identify the name of the cookie regarding some SDK, you know. So that's it. So all the analysis are, when you click on browse, it's just to have a preview of a website. Then if you want to store your analysis on the tool, then you have to create a new analysis. That's why you have this button. And all this analysis will be attached to scenario. You know that you have to interact with the website itself to see is behavior when you consent to it, when you reject cookie, where you're just visiting it without interacting with the cookie banner. So all of these are scenario attached to analysis. So when you store analysis, then you will be able to mark every information to assess whether they are compliant or not with the current regulation. So that's why you have all these tick and this button, and then you can explain why you, you can explain your evaluation. So that's it. So once you have finished your analysis, then you can share your analysis with others, and you can export them as pretty print report using some templates, and you can export it in many formats like PDF, docx, etc. So you remember that one of the requirements of the mission was to foster the reuse of knowledge regarding cookies. So there is like a full editing tools to edit your own database. So when you install this tool, this is maybe the more complex thing when you are not like from the data protection authorities, you don't have any knowledge base. Mostly because most of the knowledge base which are used by data protection authorities are covered by a secret of instructions, you know. But the tool allow you to create your own database, to reuse any database. And I have made like some example of how to translate some existing database to the format of the tool itself. So this is like project that I've put inside my own repository. You will find the URL there, and that makes the links to my research, which is there is a lot of research perspective opened by this tool. I mean, something that could be done, I mean, by any researcher, if you have work inside the cookie topics, it's like there is many databases which are existing. There is no common methodology to build this database to find the purpose of this database. Some are using like machine learning, and others are just reading like the cookie notice, you know. So the idea is that if you have work on it, then I will be happy to discuss on you, see if we can translate it, and if we can set like a confidence level to it. Other research perspective are like now browser by default enabling tracking protection. So it seems, I mean, there is a lot of research paper that show that There is some alternatives to cookies that are used by website to trying to track the user without using cookie by itself, or try to hide their own cookies by putting them as a first domain. So I'm thinking about CNAME cloaking, for instance, just to hide, you know, a URL, or to take some fingerprint of your terminal. So there is many research paper, there's many scripts, and I would be really interested to speak with anyone who has worked on this, and if we can like integrate the algorithm in the tools. And last one is also regarding browser, is now they are trying to provide alternatives to cookies. It's like the privacy initiatives, privacy sandbox for Google, privacy preserving attribution for Firefox. So all these initiatives are, I mean, most of the DPA say that they still require consents. So I will be very curious to see how popular these initiatives are, and if they are really compliant with all the expectation from the regulation. And of course, if you have any other research ideas, if you have any initiative on this project, I will be very happy to discuss with you after this presentation. And you can also find me later in the audience. I will be there today and also tomorrow, because I've also I'm speaking on another track. So contact me. And now for the SP part, I'll give the floor again to Amandine.
So for the project, what in particular? So the first thing is the AGPB is committing to continue to maintain in the future, even to continue to develop it. For information, we have started a new SP project this year to make a server version. We picked him again, hoping he will do a good job again. We'll see. The idea is to make it collaborative, and we hope it will find a way to allow to store knowledge database and audit server sites. And of course, if you have idea or you want to discuss, we are open to it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Minute for questions. One question. I think this one was first.
Hi, I'm Martin. I saw that you would like to work on cookie notice compliance, like automated analysis of all those banners. So there's no work before. You don't know any work before to analyze those cookies banners. Very spelly was good. Okay. And the next question, is there any work on vendors themselves, so-called vendors, the companies behind? Because if you click on those links and you see, it's always bullshit.
Mics, they're pointing at each other, yeah. And it's a disaster.
Because I'm sorry, I didn't get the question.
Is it working? Okay. Yeah. Better? So-called vendors, the companies behind this tracking. Is there any like a database analyzing their policies? They have their own policies, which are usually, you know, generic and stuff. Yeah. Thank you.
It's all about confidence of the information. So could we like trust this kind of vendors information? That's it. Because you know that you have some technical cookies also. That I mean, one cookie can have multi purposes. And all the information about what it's the purpose of one cookie are not always available, you know. So does it answer your question?
At the same time, if you look, you know, like at two databases that Jerome had on this slide, you had two. The first one was EDPB1, so that's you know, information that's shared on the need-to-know basis between SA. But the second one is built upon a free software project that is completely not vetted by EDPB. I'm not saying that, you know, like we will do the same things. That was a legal part, but they are a bit based on that. I mean, they are reading the notices, and it's how people are contributing to it.
I'm sorry, I think that's all we have time for today, but thank you so much, speakers,
so outside.
For a great talk. I'll be outside in front.
And I do have cookies for those who want.